You're listening to Wild One Radio. Hope you're well. Now, I've got a gentleman with me who's been around for quite a while. are you there? Are you there, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm here.
I tell you what, Tommy Cannon's with me, I'm pleased to say, here in the studio. Tommy, thank you for joining us here at Wild One Radio.
No, you're welcome.
First of all, I need to ask you, how are you getting on? Because are you 82 now?
85.
85, my goodness. And do you feel all right?
Yeah, I feel great.
All things being equal.
Yeah, I feel great. Yeah, when Bob passed, bless him, my world fell apart.
Yes.
And then, of course, we went into sort of complete lockdown, no work, no nothing. And I think that gave me time, really, to be honest. I didn't think I needed that time at that moment, but now that it's happened and it's gone, yes, I did. I needed that time.
That time to recuperate also to get over Bobby as well, of course.
Yeah, I did.
And did you manage to get quite a lot of rest during that time?
Yeah, it was good, I suppose. When I say it was good, no, it weren't good for everybody. But, yeah, I mean, I just seem to think, for me, it came at the right time.
Yes.
Kept thinking of Bob, and everywhere I went, I mean, it was strange because when I did my panto in concert, the last that asked me to do it, I said no. I said I can't do it, and she said, "Oh, okay." And then I went to see one of her shows, and she came straight up to me and she said, "You made a big mistake not doing my pantomime." I said, "Have I really?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm going to do it." She said, "Oh, my goodness me." And that was it. And I did panto.
What made you change your mind?
I've honestly got no idea, because I was petrified.
Yeah.
When I was rehearsing, I kept looking for Bob, because when we did panto, it wasn't that difficult. It was hard work, but because we worked together doing sketches in the panto, right, we were there for one another. Suddenly gone. And I'm whoa.
And if one of you made a mistake the other one would jump in and nobody would know.
Nobody noticed. No. But now I'm on my own. So now I'm thinking, oh my. And the girl, Leah, kept saying to my wife, Hazel, she kept saying, "Where is he? What's wrong with him?" And she said, "He'll get there. Give him time. He'll get there." And I couldn't remember the lines. I was just, it was frightening. And then on the opening night, I went in, did it, and at the end, all the people in the theatre stood up and gave me a standing ovation. Just made it so. And then I thought to myself, I'm so glad that I did it, you know. So, yeah.
So when you lost Bobby, that, you know, apart from obviously the grief that followed that, and I'm sure still today, working on your own has become almost a new craft, hasn't it?
It has.
To a certain extent.
Brand new, because, I say it when I'm out and doing a tour or I'm talking to people, how the heck I got into show business, I'll never know. Because it never entered my head. I wanted to be a footballer, or a cricket player, or golf, anything to do with sport. So for me to get into show business and me and Bob achieve all that we did,
to this day?
Yeah.
Two guys from Oldham, right?
Yeah.
And whose idea was it to go on to Opportunity Knox?
At that time, in the 70s, it was the only place for talent. Me and Bob said, "Look, let's go down and audition." I said, we'll do that. We went down and we walked into this room and there's hundreds of people all waiting for audition. Mm. There's a guy on stage and he's playing the piano. And Bob said, "Oh, blimey, he's never going to get through to the audition." And it was Les Dawson.
No way.
It was Les Dawson, yeah. So it took us... We did it, we passed the audition. 2 years later, we got on the actual show. Yeah. And as we were rehearsing, Mr. Green, as we used to have to call him, came down onto the floor.
Oh, you had to call him Mr. Green?
Yeah, we had to call him Mr. Green. Oh. He came onto the shop floor, he said, "What are you doing, boys?" He said, "Am I wrong in thinking when you auditioned you were singing?" I said, "That's right." I said, "But it's took 2 years, Mr. Green, for us to get back." And I said, we were listening to a comedian and we asked him why he got more money than us. He said, you do a couple of jokes, you get more money. So now we're doing this routine.
Yeah.
And he looked at us both and he went, be it on your own heads. And he walked away.
Oh.
We came last.
Well, hey, listen, these sort of things happen, don't
they?
Yeah. But, all right, so you came last on Opportunity Knocks. And then, of course, London Weekend Television. Am I right? They offered you...
Yeah, the thing with the London Weekend Television was... It seemed to be quite out of the blue because we'd been going round at that particular time between about 13 and 15 years. Pubs, working men's clubs, nightclubs, theatres if you were lucky, and television if you were really, really lucky. And the guy said, we want to take you to LWT. The upfront story of that is that we were in Glasgow, there was a Scottish singer topping the bill, brilliant singer. Bob and I opened the show, did 20 minutes, came off into the wings, and there were a guy stood there, and he said, well done, boys. That was it. Okay. A few years later, we're LWT signing contract, and we both turned at the same time and saw this fella walking up the corridor. And we looked at him, and he walked in. He said, hello, boys. He said, do you remember me?
Yeah.
And I said, were you the guy that was stood in the wings? He said, yes. He said, I'm very pleased to meet you. He said, David Bell, head of Light Entertainment.
You just never know, do you?
Don't know.
So that's it. So he was behind it all.
Yeah.
He was behind.
Yeah.
And that was a good few years. Was it 12 years?
12 years, yeah.
I mean, the size of the audience...
Mm-hmm.
Was colossal. I mean, I've seen figures of 18 yeah. plus million.
Yeah.
Presumably yeah. it was a Saturday night.
Saturday night, it was close to 20 million every Saturday night.
I mean, you don't get...
No.
You don't get it like that today.
If you get 3 or 4 million, you're top of the tree these days.
It wasn't live, presumably.
No.
It wasn't live, but, I mean, the pressure must have been immense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, for Bob and I to do a Royal Command performance, meet royalty, was like... mind-blowing. You know, who'd have thought that two lads from Oldham, well, Bob from Shaw, but it was part of Oldham, to think that two lads from Oldham, really, stood on stage and was greeted by the Queen. I mean, God, it was incredible. Incredible.
My God.
Yeah.
I mean, and wonderful. Who were you up against in those sort of days? I mean, you were very much top of the bill, the two of you,
yeah.
weren't you? But who was your sort of...
Well, it was like, there was Jimmy Tarbuck, there was Bruce Forsyth, there was all the big legends in it, but there were no... Oh, and there was Eric and Ernie were still alive, and I remember Eric coming up to me and Bob. He took us to Luton Town Football Club, Eric, and I'll never forget it. He walked into this room where there were a load of kids. I used to bring them from home on a Saturday to watch the game. And Bob and I were just tittling a little bit on TV. And Bob walked in, put his head round the door, and he went, "Full rock on, kids." Nothing. Nothing.
Right.
Eric
right.
walked in, put his glasses to one side, brought the house down.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, Eric said, "That's when you know you've made it, boys." And then he said, quite seriously, "Let me tell you, you two boys are going to take our crown." And he was
very... And you did, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
you
did. Yeah. But he was a great lad, great man.
I'm sure. So in those days, where... I mean, I'm sort of thinking about the time. Where were Little and Large at that time? And
they
all
were still going, still doing. We worked on the same bill as Sid and Eddie. Because he used to play golf with Eddie. Sid didn't play golf. And we worked on the same bill. It was a most amazing show. We went on first as a double act, and then Sid and Eddie followed as another double act.
My goodness.
In this, theatre. And, and it worked. And, I mean, but you see, that was the one and only time when we actually ever did work together. And I think it were by accident that it happened or whatever, but, yeah.
What did you enjoy the most? Did you enjoy, you know, being on one of the theatres, sorry, the piers, let's say,
well,
at Blackpool,
yeah.
which you did, or did you enjoy telly most?
I think we enjoyed everything because we never dreamed of the success that we would have. Because Bob and I, even when we did, when the nightclubs were going in the 70s, I mean, you just thought they'd be there forever. So we were okay. We thought, these are here forever. We can do these forever. It's not a problem. We can work. We enjoy it. And then when TV came along, you just... I think today there's no ladder to climb. If you do a reality show or whatever, the following week you're a star. But in our day, you went from a pub to a working men's club to a theatre, to a nightclub, to a theatre, to TV, if you were lucky. So that was the ladder.
Would you agree, though, that you talk about the ladder, right? Mm. But it's more solid, isn't it? Because there are a lot of reality stars.
Sure.
We know that. And some of them are extremely successful.
Oh, they are.
But a lot of them tend to go up quick and drop down quick.
Yes, yeah. But I just think that's the way sort of TV is today. They do these shows. And don't get me wrong, some of them are good. Yeah. But you get up to the top of the tree, and within 18 months, you disappear.
Yeah.
You go, well, I remember, where's he gone then? You weren't this, you weren't, you know, it's a weird thing now.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. What was it like when you both went in the jungle in 2005? I mean, is it as hard as it looks?
It's as hard as it looks, but it's,
yeah.
You know, I suppose I understand how these shows work. We went into the jungle. I'm a celebrity, to get me out of here. And they put us in last, which we said to them, please don't do that, but they did. And it was a very sort of terse moment because all the campers were down on camp beds and we were in this treehouse with a lovely bed each, and they knew that. And so, of course, what the TV were hoping was that we were going to have a big rows when we got up in the morning.
They thought they'd alienate you against the rest of the team. Did that happen?
No. It didn't even cross our minds. They just had a bit of a joke.
It didn't work, because they probably knew what you and them were like. That you just weren't that kind. You don't lord it over people.
No.
But I mean, would you do it again? I was just about to say.
Yes, I would.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I would. Yeah. And I'd love to.
Eating all them, what's the call? Well, yeah, downstairs I'd love
to,
jobs.
Yeah, I'd love to have done it. Yeah, I think the thing was as well, because we were a double act. When they were interviewing us for the show, I said, listen, do me a favour, please don't pull me out first. Don't do it. I said, anyway, they put us in late and they pulled me out first. I know why they did it, because they thought Bob would collapse. We're a double act, we've been together all these years. Without Tom, it won't work. And it did, it worked for him. It was great. It was great.
So all their games that they played, the production company, just didn't work,
Oh, you'd have laughed. It was raining one morning, and it was quite misty. And all of a sudden, there were all like rocks around us, and all of a sudden this hand come out of the rock and went like that with a duster, because the camera was sticking out of the rock, and we saw it happening. We were in
really?
Tears. Yeah, we were in tears, yeah. Oh, it's so funny, yeah.
But did you get really hungry? I mean, it's a long time ago now, but did you get really hungry at times?
Not too bad. I mean, Bob and I got 10 stars for the crew, like for us, like, you know, and we were 200 feet up above the jungle, and we were on a seesaw. Bob had to keep us level by pedalling some pedals so that we didn't wobble about. I had to pedal and slide us across the wire. And as I was sliding across, I had to get the stars and put them in the thing. And Bob, whatever happened was, tipped up, and Bob was sky high, and I was right down at the bottom, and he's going, vum, 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 which was his wife. I was howling.
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I mean, I know it's sort of not so long ago, but 2019, Emmerdale, you had a crack at Emmerdale, didn't you? Derek.
Oh, funny story. It was the most difficult thing. I know I'm elderly, right? And I had to play this elderly person, and I couldn't do it. Because I'm active, and I couldn't.
Yeah. This was 4 years ago, wasn't it, when you were in there?
Yeah.
And you had to be somebody who's your age now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I couldn't. I couldn't. And they were laughing at me. You see, they were laughing at me, and I got the trolley, and I was supposed to, like, going with the trolley. I pushed it like a madman and nearly knocked the bloody set over. Bang! So, we now have to do the dialogue. And I walk in, and my opening line was, doctor! So the lass come on, she said, you ready, Tommy? I said, yeah, I'm ready, love. Yes, she said, action. I went, doctor. She went, stop. She said, what's that, Tom? I said, that's the line. Hi, doctor. She said, that's the third script, not the first one. Oh, my God. I was so embarrassed. I went, oh. I said, I'm sorry. I said, oh. And everybody's laughing at me and everything. And then now I hadn't learned the third script. So now I have to go into a dressing room with Hazel and start to learn the script. And I'm going, oh, I can't believe what I've done. How can I learn this so quick?
Did you get a bit wound up?
Oh, yeah, honestly, yeah, I was screaming in that dressing room.
Because you wanted to get it right.
Well, yeah. And then I went straight out after I'd hopefully got it in my mind and got it first time. Bang, 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 bang. And all the cast gave me a round of applause.
Did you enjoy it? Because you did quite a few episodes, didn't you?
I loved it. They are the loveliest people that I've ever worked with. They were lovely. Absolutely lovely.
And I mean, obviously, learning lines was a different thing for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'd say it was. And reading, I mean, blimey, at school I was dyslexic.
Right.
They didn't know in them days what dyslexia were, so they used to just send me to back at class. Get back at class, Derbyshire, you're thick.
It's true. I've seen this with people before. Yeah. It's shocking, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've got a lovely wife who's here today. Yeah. I think she's looking at her emails at the moment.
She's looking on the phone.
You're Hazel, who you've been married to for how long now?
Oh, 35 years or something.
And you've been living in North Yorkshire for
about the same amount of time.
You love North Yorkshire?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it. It's great.
I mean, you know, you don't mind if I do that here. I'm just doing a little cross to Tommy because he's from Lancashire, isn't he? You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, we've got to keep story right. He wouldn't have white roses over at front. I'm grassing him now.
You grass?
I've grassed you. But seriously, I mean, you must have some fun about you being from Lancashire and all of that. But you do. You are happy, obviously.
Oh,
here.
God, I'll say I am. Yeah, I couldn't be better. It's just I've enjoyed literally every minute of being in Yorkshire. It's been fabulous. The Yorkshire Working Men's Club, I mean... Oh, there's so many stories which I tell when I'm touring about minor bobs, ups and downs. I can't tell you, man. It's God blimey. The club in, where was it? It was at the nightclub in Leeds. And they were
not the Alhambra. No,
this was a nightclub. And Ace of Clubs in Leeds.
Right.
It's gone now. And it was our third gig that we got to this club. And there was a guy with gloves on like that, top hat and a cape, waiting to go on. And me and Bob walked in, hiya, mate. And Bob went, hiya, pal, and hit him on the back with his cape. And he went, like that. And he walked out on stage, and he had a big long perch on stage, and in the cape were doves. And remember, Bob had hit the back of the cape. So the guy's doing the thing, getting the dove out, back onto the perch, another dove, back onto the perch, gets the third dove, throws it, just went plop, and landed on a bloke's dinner plate.
Oh no, you see.
This dead dove, and we made a joke of it. We said, and he ate it like it was chicken and chips.
Oh, I tell you, today you'd probably get 6 months.
Oh, dear.
You'd probably
get 6 months. I can't tell you, it was so funny.
Oh, I bet you had some fun.
Oh.
I haven't homed in on this, but, I mean, are you still missing Bobby as much?
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I saw you was actually last Snappy Ball, I think.
Yeah.
But before that, it was the I mean, it's not that long ago, but...
No.
Is there a day that goes by?
No, I have his ashes on a shelf where every morning when I get up, I can see him. I always touch the top of the box and say, all right, mate. And it's a lot easier now than it was. Mm. But, yeah, I still think about him. I still put YouTube on and watch the stuff we used to do and think, because he was a clown. He was the, how shall I say? I always put him down as the Charlie Chaplin of the modern day.
Yeah.
Because he sort of, we had a picture took by LWT, and I was supposed to be Errol Flynn, and Bob was Charlie Chaplin, and he looks just like Charlie Chaplin. On, I should have brought it for you to have a look, but it's brilliant.
But when you think about it, I'm thinking, I can see that resemblance, you know. And you were saying earlier on that he was actually only 5'2".
Mm.
And that was part of it, you know.
I mean, I think he was 5'4", but when he squatted, he went down to 5'2", it made me look about 6'3". And everybody used to say to me, tell you what, Tommy, you look tall on telly.
Did the cameras work on that? Was it part of what they worked on?
The thing was, our first TV show was horrendous because David Bell, who was head of Light Entertainment, we walked out and the stage was massive, and Bob was here, there, I was over there, he was here, I was there. We weren't stood together like a double act. And David Bell stopped the camera. He said, stop, stop.
Yeah.
He came down onto the shop floor. He said, what are you doing, boys? And Bob said, we're doing all right, Mr. Bell. This is what we do. He said, when we work cabaret, he said, you've got to get the attention of the audience because they're eating and what have you.
Yeah.
So he said, yes, but this isn't cabaret, this is TV. We've only got 3 cameras, we can't follow you. So he put 2 marks down on the stage from where you had to walk out and stay on them 2 marks. I can't tell you how difficult that was for me and Bob.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I mean, seriously, we could go on for hours.
Oh, go on, man.
I think we'll have to do a podcast at some stage, Tommy, because you've got so many stories. Mm. I bet if you started talking and you didn't have to go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
I bet we'd be, a week later, you'd be still.
I'd still be doing it.
You'd still be doing it without a kip or anything.
I know.
Now, you are going to be on the Barbican soon at the Live Lounge, the Y01 Live Lounge.
That's right.
Now, this is how should we say it? It's like a close-up and intimate evening.
Yes.
Where you've got probably about 140 guests or whatever like that. Is this something you like doing, Tommy?
Yes, it is. Very much so. Because of the stories and because how intimate it is, the audience, when there's only, like, say, 150, are really into it. I can see their eyes and the questions that they ask me. It's like being in your own front room.
Yeah.
And having a house party and they're
with
all
some mates. Oh, like, yeah,
it's
because,
just,
you know,
it's just so good. You see, theatres are brilliant. They were part of mine and Bob's life. But nowadays, I don't know what it is. Like, we've been touring with Legends of Variety. That's gone okay, but not as we'd hoped it had gone. And I don't know what it is. I don't know whether people, I know we're living in strange times now. People are desperate for money. You know, these people can't afford food, bless them. I mean, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can understand people not being able to afford to go to a theatre. I can understand it.
Yeah.
So I think what you've got to do, I think it'll change. Yeah. But I think for now, I think what I'll try to do is go to places what have 150, 200 people, intimate places, and I absolutely love that.
Yeah, that's the 23rd of September.
23rd of September.
At the Barbican in the Y01 Radio Live Lounge. You're going to be able to buy your tickets online at the Barbican, so if you want to go.
And I'm going to do a meet and greet after.
Oh, as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Bobby. Can't believe I just said that. Tommy, he'll love that, won't he?
He will.
He'll love that. Tommy, one last thing.
Yeah.
What was all this with Robbie Williams last year? What was all that
incredible.
About?
Incredible. Let me tell you, my family are Robbie Williams daft. And we all, the family were up there and we were all singing, all had his hands like this, singing Angels. I'm loving angels instead.
What, sorry, at his concert?
Yeah, no, in our front room.
All right, okay.
So then I said to Hazel, text him and tell him what we're doing. So she texted him. That's fantastic, that, Tommy. He said, listen, he said, I'm in Manchester 2 weeks from now. He said, come down, bring all the family down. So we all go. Nervous as hell. He walks on stage. He must have known exactly where we were sat. We must have been...
Somebody must have told him, you mean?
Well, yeah. So he said, he came on, he walked right to the edge of the stage. He turned and looked right at me and went, to Hazel. I said, not that he's not saluting me. I said, what? I said, nah, can't be that. And he changed the show to sing Angels right at the end. So he comes down to sing Angels. He's done a great show, 20,000 people there. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a legend in the audience tonight. Now, I'm looking round for the legend. Where is he? Who is it? It must be some big star, blimey. Let's have a look. Come on, find him. Looking round. And then all of a sudden he said, Tommy Cannon is in the audience. And I went, what? It's me. And he went through the microphone, Tommy. 20,000 people were chanting my name. I was in buckets of tears.
I can imagine.
I go down after the show to the VIP bar, and he stood there waiting for me.
Yeah, that's the one.
And he went, Tommy. And he put his arms around me. Yeah. And I didn't realise he was 6 foot. I thought he were only about 5 foot, whatever.
Yeah.
And he pulled me into him and he whispered in my ear, he said, Tommy, I love you, mate. You're a legend. I grew up with you. And I've got that picture up on the wall in my house. I'll tell you.
Because that was only last year, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
I'm still in touch with Robbie now.
That's fantastic. Mm. You know what? It's great. It's lovely to speak to you.
Thanks.
I'll look forward to the next time.
Yeah.
Good luck on the 23rd, but I shall see you on that day.
Okay.
Tommy Cannon, great to have you at Y1 Radio. And we all remember Cannon and Baldo. I mean, I'm very quickly, I don't know if you remember, when I first met you at the Spring Fair, and we got that young lad working through, he's only 18.
That's right.
And he says, oh, look who's there. He says, Tommy's here. Now, that was amazing, wasn't it?
Amazing. Absolutely.
I mean, a young lad.
I know. Amazing.